I have been preaching for 38 years. That's a long time. And I remember the first church that I ever got to, as the first service, I'm listening to Chris, and I flash back to this church in Massachusetts who gave me a chance to speak. And I realize that I've been preaching forever, but you haven't been, how many times have you preached before? Yeah, I've got a handful. So, yeah, Chris and his family came here on Easter, and we hit it off right away. He had some musical talents that he's already been able to use here. I love his spirit and I love his heart, and we're looking at creating like a ministry intern position that he could begin to use some of his gifts and abilities here in our midst. And so I wanted you to get to know him a little bit better, and I thought the best way to do that, a great way to do that, would be to have him share. And so he told me he wanted to talk about pride versus humility, which is the challenge for every single one of us if we want to know the Lord. And so, Chris, welcome.
Green? It's green now. There we go. Hello, everybody. So I just want to introduce myself and just say that it's wonderful to be here. And even if you say, this guy's not for us, I don't want to do an internship, this guy's, no, then we're still coming here. So the next guy will be great, and the guy go, and we'll support him. And so, but we're very happy to be here. So thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity. I have done a lot of teaching. No, not a whole lot of preaching, but teaching and preaching are, they rhyme. So we're going to count it. Thank you, everybody, for the warm welcome. Our very first Sunday here was Easter Sunday. It's just such a warm, comforting gathering place. And my family and I love it here. If my girls didn't like it here, we wouldn't be coming. I'll just be real. But they do. They do love it here. They want to come back here. We did some shopping around. We did some looking around, and we landed here. And isn't it funny? Sometimes so I had some ministry experience, and I just said, okay, I need a break. Need a break, Lord. Not going to do anything right now. Let your will be done. If I never have to be in any kind of ministry again, that's fine. It's like, we're good. We're good. And then, boom, that's how God works. It just lands in your lap, and away we go. When he has a work for you to do, you better just do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's why I'm here today. I hope you will be blessed by the message today. This has been on my heart for a long time. So the message today is lay your crown down. Lay your crown down. I'm going to skip a bunch of the other stuff I had so I can get this in, because some of this is about me, and it's not about me, it's about him. So let's go. All right. So if you would, open your Bibles, if you have it today, to John chapter 3, verse 22. And yes, it will be on the screen. If you got it, say, got it. If you don't got it, say, wait. It's either got it or wait. Come on. What is it? Okay. All right. Good. It'll be on the screen. Here we go. I do have a lot of Bible verses because the scriptures talk a lot about pride and a lot about humility. There's a lot of great stories. John the Baptist testifies about Jesus. So John chapter 3, 22 through 30 is what I'm going to be reading. It says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was baptizing at Anon near Elim, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him. This is what he told you. He went to John the Baptist and said, hey, they're going to Jesus instead of you. Isn't it funny how, like, what people come to you and say sometimes? So continues on, says, Verse 27, to this John replied, a person can receive only what is given to them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. Verse 30, he must become greater. I must become less. John swallows his pride. John has a following. He's out in the wilderness. He's wearing camel skins. He's got a following. People want to go see what John is up to. He's baptizing people. And Jesus shows up, and his disciples are wondering why. Why? Then he's baptized, and that's a whole other story. So that's the text we're going to stay with today. So as a teacher, I taught public school for 13 years. Taught history, physical education, health, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I taught a lot of it. And we use a lot of props. Well, I did, not everybody. Luke used a lot of props to get a point across. I've used a ram's horn before to scare him. I've used a trumpet in teaching history to try to talk about like army formations and how they would communicate. And today, unfortunately, I left it at home, but if I had it, we would be using a carbon monoxide detector as a prop, So carbon monoxide detector. So carbon monoxide detectors are vital. Every building up to has to have one by code. They have to. So the CDC calls carbon dioxide the silent killer because it's odorless, it's colorless, it's lethal, it's a killer. Almost 20,000 emergency room visits a year from carbon monoxide, and 400 people die a year from carbon monoxide poisoning. Now, the craziest thing is it could be in the room right now, and nobody would know it. You're breathing normally, and everything's fine. You don't smell anything, and then you become nauseous. And then you get a headache. And then eventually you die. It is lethal. Carbon monoxide. Today I want to talk about pride as the silent killer. Pride. So, pride seeps into your spirit. It stops God from moving in your life. It shuts down his plans for you. It ends relationships. And it's just all around a bad thing, and we're going to talk about this. God hates pride. He does not like it. He hates sin. He hates pride. So, Christ's triumphant return from death. Revelation 9:4-11. So, pride has always been the problem. Very first sin was pride. Christ's triumphant return from death. Here we go. Whenever the living creatures give glory. And so, by the way, this is John the Revelator. Okay, not John the Baptist, John the Revelator. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "Worthy, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So all of heaven worships the Lord. They lay down what they have earned and give it to him. So pride is the carbon monoxide of sin. It tears families apart. It causes bitterness to manifest itself. Bitterness causes you to not forgive. Family members who haven't talked for years is a result of pride. It stops what God wants to do in you and then through you. But pride is also America's stronghold. It's America's stronghold. Pride. Pride keeps people out of church, right? Pride keeps you silent from speaking up against injustice. when others are just, you know, not well, it's another story. But pride holds us right where we are. St. Augustine said, pride is the sin beneath the sin. So we have sin, and then there's another layer. Let me try to explain. So on the surface, it may seem like you are anxious, like you have anxiety, because maybe you had a plan for your life. Maybe you said, by the time I'm 38 years old, I want to have three kids. I want to be married to a husband. I want him to be 6'2". I want him to be a millionaire. I want to drive a BMW. I want a house with four bedrooms and four bathrooms, because we need more bathrooms than people, and that's what we need. But it comes to it, and maybe you are married, but he's 5'2". And maybe you don't have the house you want, and you're driving around a Toyota Prius instead of that BMW. So in your mind, which nothing wrong with Prius, I love Toyota. In your mind, you're anxious. I don't have the things that I want. You ever done this? God, We talked about this, God. We talked about all the things that I wanted, and it's not here. Well, God, why isn't it here? I'm so anxious in my life. So anxious. But the root of it is actually pride. Because you told God what you wanted, but maybe that's not God's plan for you. Maybe it's not the direction he wants you to go. It keeps you... So here's another example. So on the surface, you might seem like indecisiveness. Waiting on God. What does God want? So indecisiveness, I just don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit. I'm going to wait. Maybe it's because you're asking, what if I fail? What if I mess up? What are those people going to say? If I step out and do this, what are others going to say about me? So because I'm so worried about what other people are going to say, I'm going to stand still and I'm just going to wait. God's going to tell me, he's going to pick me up and just move me, right? That's not his will for your life. He needs you to move. He wants you to move. He has something for you to do. We are not meant to be alone. We are not meant to walk this thing alone. We are not meant to be a recluse. Step out. The world is looking for us. The world is looking for hope. And if we don't give it to them, they will be hopeless without a risen Savior. So pride has always been the problem. The very first sin, pride. Here it is. The fall of Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12-14. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth. You who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. Verse 14, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. See, Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of heaven. He was in charge of the music, and he was beautiful, and he was created to worship him. So pride preceded the fall of man. It turned an angel into a devil. And when they had their great big battle in heaven, which who knows what that looked like? Fact check: one third of the angels fell on that day. One third of the angels fell. They listened to Lucifer instead of Almighty God. Because Lucifer said to them, oh, I wonder where this is going to come up again. Hey, we're going to find out. He said, you can be just like God. God's not special. You can be just like him. Be just like him. And the angels listened. One third of them, and they fell. Ezekiel 28:15-18 says, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Verse 16, Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the Mount of God and expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Verse 17, your heart became proud. Boom. Your heart became proud on the account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. Yikes. The fall of man. Pride has always been the problem. Genesis chapter 3, 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Then the serpent says, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. By the way, God was not talking about, when he gave that direction, he was not talking about physical death. But Adam and Eve did not know that at the time. So the serpent knows this. Satan knows this. You will not die. And it says, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan didn't learn anything. Cast out of heaven for the same thing, and then he projects it on Adam and Eve. So how pride affects us. Pride is the deadbolt. I like this. Pride is the deadbolt that prevents your access to the throne room of God. It locks God out. He resists the proud. But how do you fight it? Humility. Humility is the hinge by which the heavens open up your life. So where pride shuts, humility opens it. God is attracted to humility. God, let us be humble. I wonder what would happen if you started your day on your knees and said, God, this is your day. This is the day that you have made. I don't know how I'm going to run this company without you. I don't know how I'm going to keep my family whole without you. I don't know how I'm going to love these kids and help them grow up to be good people without you. God, I need you. You are all I need, and I can't do any of this without you. Help me. God is attracted to that humility. He's attracted to it, and he shows up every time. I can promise you that. So pride brings trouble. James 4, 6 through 7. Pride brings trouble, but he gives more grace. That is why Scripture says, God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee. So, thank the Lord. We have the ability to resist and he's going to flee. But get this. Verse 6 says, God resists the proud. So, resist the devil and he will flee. But if I have pride, God resists me. So I'm in the middle here, right? So resist the devil. I can do that. I can even do that on my own. But if God doesn't have my back because I have pride, then he's going to resist me, and I'm fighting this thing on my own without his help. And I can't win without his help. I don't know if anybody's ever tried before. I cannot win without him. So with that, God doesn't have my back if I have pride. So I wonder, can anybody raise your hand if you are a super prideful person? Come on now, you got pride. You got pride. There we go. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you. So if you didn't raise your hand, I'm worried about you. Because the pride, just messing. Let me make my point. the pride inside doesn't allow you to raise the hand in the first place. It's stopping you from raising your hand, the pride itself. So, next question. And I'm not judging. I'm really not. Just let me make the point. Raise your hand if you feel like you're a super humble person. Man, I am humble. www.humbleisme.com. Anybody? Okay. So here's the thing. Humility is hidden. So if pride hides and humility is hidden, how can you tell the difference? It's hard. It's really hard. Because sometimes you might think, I don't know where that's coming from. You know what I wish we had? I wish we had a pride monoxide detector. Right? So you're walking along, and it could be for you, it could be for somebody else, and he goes, beep, 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 beep. Pride, oh, gotta fix it. Right? So all pride cares about is that you are in the center. You are in the center of it. So how are we going to tell? So here's what superiority pride looks like. I'm not going to go down there. Do you know what type of people there are down there? So what would Jesus do? Jesus went into their homes. I love the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and he wants to see Jesus so bad. And so he climbs up in this tree, and Jesus says, Go into your house today. Let me ask you, do you think that there are other people in the room that maybe weren't believers there around that went to Zacchaeus' house? Yeah? Yeah? There's people that maybe you don't get along with at work. Do you think they were there too? Yeah, they're probably there too. Do you think that maybe they said something offensive to Jesus and Jesus, Jesus is around, but they just run off of the mouth and say it anyway because that's what people do? Yeah, it is. And Jesus went there anyway. And he talked to them, and he ministered to them. He just wanted to know them. That's it. It's awesome. So pride is a lot like bad breath. Generally, you are the last one to realize that you have it. But it's affecting everybody in the room. Everybody. So inferiority pride, because it can manifest itself in that way, is no one calls me. No one checks on me. No one loves me. I went through the whole pandemic, and they didn't even talk to me. Me, 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 me. It can manifest itself. Just because you feel sorry for yourself doesn't mean you were not being prideful. It's all about me. It's still all about me. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, fellas, for the sake of time. So. If pride hides and humility is hidden, how can we tell the difference? I know how we can tell without having a detector. It's how you respond to things in life. How do you respond? So, here we go. How do you respond to criticism? How do you respond to criticism? Do you deflect? Do you deny? Are you defensive? Are you deflated? Or... I love humble people. Humble people laugh at themselves. Humble people will say, like, if somebody says they have bad breath, they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just tried some new toothpaste today. Thank you. I'll check on that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So humble people grow because of that, because they're willing to accept it, and they're not playing defense. They accept it. People will tell you all kinds of things. Humble people grow. Humble people will talk to anyone. So how do you respond to criticism? The next thing you could to test is how do you respond to rejection? How do you respond to people who are stuck up and won't talk to you? Do you start talking about them? Oh, I see how it is. You're not going to talk to me? Okay, that's fine. I won't talk to you. You go over there. I'll see how that is. See how it is. I'm going to talk to you. You're going to talk to me? Okay. Rejection. Humble people will talk to anyone. they might say, oh, hi, I know you didn't talk to me, but I guess you didn't see me, but how are you doing today? How's it going? They will go up anyway. So next thing, how do you respond to advice? How do you respond to advice? If it's something you want to hear, you might be like, okay, all right, that's cool. All right, thank you for that. You know, some people will ask for advice and they just because they want to hear what's already in here, right? Like, oh, thank you. I'm going to be praying about that. Thank you. You're right. But what if it's contrary to their belief? Like, maybe this lady wants to get married to this guy, and you're like, I don't know if it's the right thing to do. See, did you not see his birth certificate? First name is Freddie, and the last name is Krueger. I mean, no, you don't want to do that. And so you could respond to rejection, advice, and say, you don't know him. I know him. You don't know him. Don't marry Freddy Krueger. What are you doing? So, last thing. How do you respond to praise? How do you respond to praise? Can I tell you that I don't like how much I like to be liked. I don't like how much I like to be liked. And we live in this social media world where we just want to be liked by everybody, right? Like, oh, press that thumbs up. Oh, nope, somebody made a tear face. Oh no, oh, who was that? I'm going to click on that person. Oh, okay. They really like. I don't like how much I like to be liked. To seek the approval of others. And this is such, I'm so glad we're talking about mental health coming up in August, because psychologists are scrambling to figure out how we are going to deal with all this social media stuff. It is hurting us so bad, because we now not only need approval from our friends, we need approval from strangers. From strangers. From people we don't know. How many Instagram followers you got? How many TikTok watches you got? From strangers. From people we don't know. So, here's the test. How do you respond to criticism? How do you respond to rejection? How do you respond to advice? And how do you respond to praise? That's an acronym. How do you respond to the crap of life? The things that don't matter. It doesn't matter if you get criticized, rejected, somebody gives you advice or praise, but what does matter is how you respond to it. Humility or pride, how do you respond to the crap of life? My youth pastor in my teenage years would be mad at me for saying the word crap. So I'm just sorry ahead of time. All right, so Philippians 3:14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the good, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward towards Christ, heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now take a look at this scripture. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The context of that scripture isn't forgetting all the bad stuff that happened to Paul. Paul is saying, I got to forget my wins. I got to forget all the good that has happened to me. If you back up to verse 4, he says, if someone thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. My high schoolers would say, he's flexing. He's flexing. Thank you, smiles, young people. I appreciate you. What he's saying is, I have all the stuff that in my life right now that I could be bragging about it. But I forget, I must put all those things aside. I got to forget my wins. I got to forget them all to move forward to the high calling of Christ and what he has called me to do. All of that is for nothing, for nothing. John the Baptist was able to forget the crap. I decrease so he can increase. I want to mention this to you. The era of the Caesars. So during the Roman Empire, when the Romans would win a great battle, they would go all around the country, and they would, it was called a triumph. And the Roman Caesar is in his chariot, and in his chariot right next to him is a servant. That servant's job is to hold the crown on his head. Is to hold the crown. Because it can get really heavy having a crown on your head, even if it's just the thing the Greeks did, apparently. They just had him there, but he had another job. It wasn't just to hold the crown. It was to speak words into his ear. And this is what he would say, "Momento mori. Momento mori. Momento mori." It means you, remember, you are mortal. Momento mori. You can't handle the weight of it. Momento mori. It will crush you. You can't. We were never created to receive glory. We were created to reflect it. We were never created to receive it because you can't handle it. Some of the greatest sport athletes I admire the most have they start out with, well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for just the ability to do it. And they start with humility. And today that's mocked, but I respect those people more than anything. They live their faith out. So I wonder what it would look like to have a church with no crowns. Have a church with no crowns. So Revelation, I'm going to go back. I'm landing the plane here. Revelation 4:4 and the 24 elders. Again, I said this earlier, but I'm so glad that we get a crown, that God sees us and he sees the good things that we do. And his grace and mercy is sufficient. And then we go before him, he's going to give us a crown. Good job, thy good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord. Because it's hard. It is hard to be good. Maybe it's just me. But it's hard to be good all the time. It is. And when you are good, it feels so fruitless sometimes. But my Bible, your Bible, says that there is a reward for it. And I'm so thankful. But when we get to heaven, this is what John said he saw. He saw the 24 elders, all of the church. He saw the 12 tribes of Israel, and he saw the 12 disciples. And they were all there together, the church, and they had crowns. And the Revelation 4 says they all, when they see Jesus, when they see Jesus, they take their crowns off before him, and everyone in the room stops and says, "Glory, glory to the Lamb. You are worthy to be praised." And they praise him. Because everything that I have done, this beautiful crown that I have been given, is nothing compared to you. He is the reward. The reward is him. The reward is his presence. And he is enough. He is enough. Hallelujah. Why do I need a crown when I get his presence? Why do we need it? No crown. Look at your neighbor and say, "No crown." Do you have a neighbor right beside you? Say, "No crown." Wife, no crown. Daughter, no crown. We lay the crowns down. Thank you. Thank you, y'all. After you, Pastor.
We're going to close our service with two verses of 371, "Have Thine Own Way." Melissa is going to be up front here. She's our deacon, and we understand that some of you may have a question or just want to pray with someone today. So she'll be available up front over here after we sing, or if you want to come during to receive Christ or join our church, you're welcome to. So let's stand and sing together. The beautiful flowers on our communion table were picked from their yard and brought here by Cinda O'Brien. Thank you for the beauty that graces the table. Cinda loves flowers and blesses us with some from her yard. Father, thank you for the beauty that is all around us and for Chris's message. It's not about us. It's all about you. You are enough, and you are the reward. And even in heaven, when we have those crowns, it's good to be rewarded. But when we see you, we take them off and we throw them at your feet. Grateful to be with you in your presence forever. Go with us, we pray now, and use us in Jesus' name. Amen.